Good morning and welcome to Smashy Business. I'm Lubna Hamdan.
And I am Farah Bashir, joining Lubna Hamdan for the day again.
Thanks, Farah, for joining. And it's nice to be kind of regularly almost now back in the studio.
Yes, it does. It feels really good after, I would say, a long week of chaos. Mm.
Does it feel good, though? Because working from home was also nice.
I mean, yeah,
Let's be honest here. We're candid on this show.
It can go both ways. Like, for example, when my mom is at home and I'm working from home, she probably would confuse it with not working.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, I work, like, on my phone. So she thinks I'm just, like, I don't know, texting or doing something. I'm like, Mom, I'm not. I am work.
I feel your pain. I feel your pain as well. But it was, you know what, it was a nice, I feel like everything was moving so quickly and it was just nice to get a bit of a break.
Yeah.
And also a shout out to Richard and Hams for getting engaged.
Yes, congratulations.
Also,
I mean,
Richard is the CEO of Augustus and my co-host. Usually, thanks for stepping in. For those who don't know, that's who Richard is. I'm sure people already know that, just for context. But yeah, got engaged in the beautiful Al Ula. So Al Ula is now, I mean, people used to go to Paris to get engaged, and now people are going to Saudi to get engaged. That's lovely. Out of all places, they chose to have their, you know, surprise proposal, or he decided to have it in Al Ula.
I mean, it is. It was a beautiful, He posted like the video and I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, what? Congratulations. That's beautiful. Yeah. Love is beautiful. So, as we say in Syria, عقبالك.
عقبالك. عقبالك انت كمان. That's what your aunts always say. Like,
yes.
Oh, basically, how do you translate to عقبالك?
Technically, it's like,
hopefully you also
you're
get married. You
like,
also
like,
get,
you're next, you know, you hopefully get.
Thanks, Farah, as if I needed more pressure from...
It's just a saying. It's just a saying, but it's fine.
Right. Moving on from love. Oh my God, I read the sign. It was hilarious. It was part of the Candy Pants brunch. We need to look into Candy Pants, by the way, because they were not paying the founder of Ray Chan, the founder of Candy Pants, was not paying his staff of a company that he set up with the forefront guy. I forgot his name. But yeah, we need to check up on that. We need to check that story. Anyways, Candy Pants is brilliant at doing these brunches and putting up these hilarious signs. And one of the signs was on Valentine's Day, and it said, "Love is in the air, don't breathe." That was nice. It was a funny little thing.
I mean, if you are like, I don't know, if you go with like an actual like open heart, then for sure love is in the air.
Yeah, I love the optimism, Farah.
Yes. I mean, I have had like that advice like years ago from a friend. She's like, Farah, like open up your heart.
Yeah.
Because I was very like,
no, love. Yeah. So you've opened your heart.
But it
now.
Worked.
It worked.
It worked, yeah, because she's like, Farah, open up your heart. And I'm like, and I started becoming nicer.
Yeah.
And then I, go with someone. So I'm like,
Okay. So maybe an engagement is on the horizon
for
you as well.
He's the next one.
You opened your heart, then you closed it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. more on Farah's love life later on. We'll need an update every episode. Maybe you'll find your Prince Charming, listening to the show. Maybe you're the man of your dreams is one of our listeners or viewers.
We can never know.
Let's quickly go through the headlines. Telegram gives you freedom to promote crypto scams. That's, of course, a joke by Pavel Durov, the founder of and CEO of Telegram. He was on stage in Dubai in a very rare occasion. He's never on stage. We'll talk about that. And then Emaar Properties says it's going to repair homes damaged by rain at no cost to residents. That's according to Mohammed Al-Abbad. And Habtoud billionaire Khalaf Al-Habtoud has donated 17 million dirhams or $4.6 million to repair homes also damaged by the rain. And then why young graduates in the UAE are landing director roles? What does it mean exactly? And NVIDIA has lost $400 billion in a market frenzy as the stocks for chips dropped. And Saudi's NEOM is seeking Chinese investment. So it's different now. It's usually Saudi giving the investment, but NEOM is such a mega project that it's looking to China. And last but not least, a Jordanian mental health startup has raised $1 million. Why is that big news? We'll come to that next. And then Anastasia is the co-founder and CEO of Aria. It's a crypto rating agency and financial analytics platform. She's our guest for today. She'll be with us soon. Stay tuned. I'm holding in a sneeze. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm human. I had to say that, right. No, I don't need to shoo Hisham. Thank you. Hisham's our lovely producer, always taking care of us. Telegram. I love me some Telegram, even though I don't use it as much as I should be using it. But Pavel Durov lives in Dubai, obviously. Telegram moved years and years ago from Russia. The Russian government wanted them to give them information. They didn't want to do that. So they're in Dubai. They are expecting to be profitable either this year or next year. They're also eyeing an IPO. People are saying they might list publicly in Dubai or Abu Dhabi. And Pavel is a mystery man. He's practically a ghost. He's barely seen outside. And he's the CEO and founder. He spoke on stage at Token 2049 in Dubai over the weekend. And I honestly didn't think the event, which was sold out, by the way, I didn't think that it was going to happen because of the flooding around the city. You know, it was taking people an hour and a half at least to just to cross Sheikh Zayed Road. But I have to say, you know, it was really impressive now. And yesterday, the roads are almost completely cleared. I mean, name me one city in the world that has this quick of a turnaround.
That is true. I mean, I was telling Casey that Dubai, you know, hopped back on in 3 days. Yeah, it might have not, you know, opened all doors, but it has opened a big portion.
Absolutely.
And clearly, like, they probably, like, had, like, a plan to open up, like, the big ones, you know, prior to, like, you know, small other ones, communities, because, like, that's, like, it's very important. Yes. There are still, like, a bit of traffic around here and there, but
a lot of road closures still,
true. Yeah. But, however, you know, like, they still, They pulled back in 3 days. And, you know, as well, because, like, we are living in Dubai and we are used to Dubai being very safe and accessible to everyone. And to
and very
everything.
Active, very active. People cannot and do not want to be home during weekdays or on the weekend. So people were still going out, you know.
That is true.
I was in DIFC on Saturday, and it was as if people had just gotten out of Corona.
Literally.
It was just packed, absolutely packed. Yeah.
I mean, it was COVID. It felt like it was giving COVID 2020 vibes, you know, like going live from home.
From home. Yeah.
And like, you know, like with like a suit from on top and a pajama from down.
Exactly.
I'm
if
just,
only
like,
we could do that here.
Secrets, wink. But, you know, like that's like the whole point, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it was like, I mean, safety comes first, so.
Something really funny that going back to this event, Token 2049, where Pavel was speaking on stage, it also featured Brian Johnson, the man trying to defy aging, and he, you know, he does all of these routines and life, you know, he lives a very strange lifestyle. He is basically, I think, 46 years old. People are saying he does look 46. He's claiming that, no, actually, he looks much younger. He looks 25. I don't think he looks 25 personally. He's claiming that all of these routines and all of these weird treatments that he does are slowing down his biological clock. And he was wearing a t-shirt that says, don't die. That's what the t-shirt says. Don't die. It's just so strange. I feel like, are these people actually, you know, mentally okay?
I think, honestly, that at this point, aging has become, like, the number one topic on everyone's tongues. You know, like, everyone goes like, oh, yeah, you know what? I fear aging.
Yeah.
And, like, we've seen, you know, like, young kids, like, that are 12, 13, using retinol. And they're just like they have a skin regime that they are using because they fear aging. So I would understand, you know, like where he is coming from. I think it's like something like
it's an obsession.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many influencers as well that put these lip fillers, and I think that not just the cosmetics industry, but the pharmaceuticals are making so much money from making young women feel like they need to change the way that they look, and these influencers actually end up looking much older.
They do. We've seen.
I don't want to name and shame, but she's talked about this herself. There's an influencer called Rania Fawaz, and she's got so much filler, and she says she regrets it. She put so much filler in her face that she looks much older now.
She does.
Much older, and it's very sad. But anyways, going back to Telegram. So he was joking. Telegram has nearly 1 billion users, by the way. He was saying, you know, Telegram gives you freedom. We value freedom a lot. And he joked on stage and said, Telegram also gives you freedom for your crypto scams. and he actually said, he was joking. He said, no, I'm kidding, that's not included. But then he said, does anyone here do any crypto scams? And some guy raised his hand and he said, well, people say there's no credibility in crypto, but at least there's honesty. At least people are honest. I just love that we saw his personality come out on stage his Instagram is just loads of shirtless photos of him, and he never really comes out and says anything. So that's nice, Pavel. We'd like to hear more of your personality and not just see your abs. You know, they Pavel, where's the personality? Show it to us. You're worth more than a couple of shirtless photos.
Pictures.
Exactly.
Yeah.
anyways. So Amad Properties, a lot of people are talking about this. Mm-hmm. Amad Properties is going to, or says it's going to, repair homes damaged by rain at no cost to residents. That's according to Mohammed Al-Abbad. And obviously the UAE experienced the highest volume of rainfall in 75 years, more than London gets in a year. I think that's the stat.
That's
as much as 142 millimeters in rain. It caused massive flooding. Everyone knows that, a lot of damage. So Amad Properties, DFM listed, it's the developer behind downtown Dubai, Burj Khalifa. A lot of the tourists that come into town keep asking. They say, oh, what is Emaar? What is Emaar? Because of the branding all across the city, they've literally built a small city in Dubai, which is downtown Dubai. So they put out a statement. They said, Amad is going to repair all homes within our communities affected by the recent weather in Dubai at no cost to residents, said the founder, Mohammed Al-Abbad. It will do so for properties damaged by recent rains at its own cost to ensure residents can return to their daily lives as swiftly and smoothly as possible. Amad said it's a responsible company which will provide all possible support in such situations, including the complete repair of homes, and it said it already begun working with local authorities. It's assessing and restoring the damaged properties on all homes, both old and new, which have reported damages directly resulting from the rainfall. And people can register through the Amad call center. That's how you become eligible for the service. However, we got some comments of people saying, it was a mix of comments, people saying this is great. Some people said that's the least they can do. And how about elevating the quality of material? And some people said, now to get through on the phone, we can't even to request a water tanker for our community. Someone said, yeah, okay, dot, dot, dot. So that was interesting. Someone said, Amad maintenance literally just came to my home and left after doing nothing. They said, we only fix in emergencies. And then someone also said, is this for landowners? Because for tenants, they are supposed to repair, so it's not a new thing. And someone else said, that's not true. They came to my house and said to get someone to fix it and that they won't fix the damage. This is false news. Other people obviously were saying good things. That's good, more than most developers would do. This is only possible in Dubai. A lot of comments on that post.
To be honest with you, I like the initiative, but I highly doubt it. I really do. Because, like, I don't think that Amar would have the capacity to just, like, you know...
Why they make a ton of money.
they for sure do, but I don't mean, like, money-wise. But I think, like, you know, like, if they are going to get to every house that has got affected by the flood, I think that would be, like, a lot, you know. But because, like, you know, again, I don't know. Because a lot of, I would say, property
developers
go like, oh yeah, we're gonna fix this, we're gonna fix that, but then they don't fix that.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I feel like it's like they're gonna be like, you know what? It must be true, but I think there are some conditions. It's like, fine, like if your house has gone through ABC, then yeah, we are gonna fix it.
Yeah,
but if it has not gone through ABC, we can repair some of the things.
You know, yeah, it's funny because some people were tagging Nakhil, some people were tagging other developers. So that was just fun to see. Look, I think Ahmad always do this. They love a publicity stunt. They've done this in the past with you know, removing titles. That was a everyone found it a strange thing. It was a there. Yeah, it was basically a campaign that there nobody has a title. So, you know, Al-Abbari, who was chairman at the time, basically
removed all titles.
And then we found out shortly after that he was no longer chairman. So not sure if that's related. But anyways, it's a good move if they're actually doing it. Another good move is, and I guess we'll find out in time. Another good move is Khalaf al-Habtour has donated 17 million dirhams or $4.6 million to repair homes affected by the rain. He wants to support Emirati families impacted. I mean, that's nice. That's generous. Good to see. He's allocating funds basically to repair homes of Emirati families. So this does not include expats. But they're also offering complimentary hotel rooms within their properties to affected families who need temporary accommodation. That's lovely, actually. The hotel, the fact that they're offering hotels.
I mean, it's a big number to donate. It's a very big number, and it's very generous. And I just like love.
Well, if you're a billionaire, it's not that big, but still, look, it's
17.
Better than nothing. You know, it's funny. One of my favorite books is Open by Andre Agassi, the legendary tennis player, and he talks about another tennis player in the book, and he actually names him, and he named and shamed so many people in that book that he lost so many. They weren't friends. He said, you know, I didn't care. It was the name of the book was Open because it was raw and honest. But he mentioned another tennis player. I forgot his name, but he said that he was making so much money, but they were basically at the same restaurant waiting for the valet. And that guy had gotten his car before Andre. And, The valet told Andre that the guy didn't even... He tipped him $1 or something. $1. Oh, imagine you have so much money and you tip the valet $1.
Yeah.
Some people are just so cheap.
They are.
That's honestly, one thing that's unacceptable.
It is,
in a man, is being cheap.
Cheap. That is true. Yeah. It is, by the way. It's just like if you are a man with, like, I would say, like...
a lot of values
people like see you in a certain way, like, let's say like you're very respectful by the community and so on, and then you turn out to be cheap, that just like takes it all away from me, you know, like it's like people view you and as like, oh my god, this graceful, amazing man who is very mature, who's very successful, who's very independent, and then the moment you turn out to be cheap, they're gonna be like, oh my god, he is so cheap. And that word itself is just going to like take away all of the good values that are in you.
Absolutely. You know absolutely. I mean? Yes. Someone interestingly said about this Habtour story, you know, they were highlighting the fact that he's only helping Emirati. Someone said, imagine highlighting that help will only go to a specific demographic of people. Just a reminder, folks, look for places that value you. Look, it's, you know, it is one perspective, and that got 21 replies. Someone said, if an Emirati citizen decides to spend his own money to his fellow Emirati citizens, and you have a problem with that, I suggest you open your phone and click on Google Maps and check again on which land this is happening. Everyone is more than welcome to head to the airport and pick another destination.
Oh God. Okay, so this is like actually mean. But, like, again, like, I do understand, like, Khalif al-Habtour is going to donate that much money to UAE citizens. But people do tend to forget, like, fine, the UAE police, as, like, a whole, they are there for even residents. You know, like, this is his business, you know, like,
That's their job, Farah, though, you know.
Yeah.
they should, you know. But I think it's a common topic people talk about. You know, a lot of expats here just want more out of the UAE. They just want, be it a green card, be it the citizenship. But look, the UAE is already making strides. We already have the 10-year golden visa now.
That is true.
But anyway, you know what? We can talk about this topic forever. At the end of the day, people just want to complain about anything, and life isn't perfect, life isn't fair. Great for the Emiratis because they also get forgotten in so many other aspects, and that's what people don't actually talk about. Young graduates in the UAE are landing director and VP roles. They're being named directors and vice presidents. But that's according to a recent study done by Robert Walters, a recruitment company in the Middle East. But the titles may not be reflecting the reality, actually, because they're just giving them these, fancy titles and then just paying them a lower salary.
That is true, by the way. And like there is, I feel like, a misconception that is held around Emiratis.
Yeah.
Number one is like they are given really high salaries and really like high positions and so on, which is understandable. But
same thing for British expats
that
and American passport holders.
Yeah.
And we can say that as well. At least the Emiratis deserve it because this is their country. You know,
exactly. I mean, you know, like I understand why a lot of people are very salty.
Yeah.
About the fact that the UAE is actually holding a lot of value to their citizens. However, I feel like it's like, why hate? You know what I mean? Like, you are here as well because the UAE is providing you safety. The UAE is providing you a lot of things. Yes, it might not be at the same level or equivalent to citizens, but you still are getting things, which is why you are here living in the UAE.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, people, people will complain about anything. I mean, we have it so, so good here. And yeah, I mean, you don't have to be here. You don't need to be here, you know.
That is true.
Right, we're running out of time, so I'm going to just quickly go through this study about young UAE graduates. Apparently, there's been a 43% increase in job roles featuring keywords such as lead or manager, but which only require 2 years of experience. I remember those days when, any junior job required like 15 years of experience. It was hilarious. But apparently it's just a tactic. It's called job title inflation. There's a term for it now even. Mm-hmm. It's just a tactic to attract talent without increasing salaries. You know, the company that I was working with, ITP, used to do that all the time. Not promote you and just give you give you a new title. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it's like as if the new title is going to... It's like new title, more workload, but...
Definitely.
Where it's increased.
Exactly. Anyways, moving on. Chip stocks, they are crashing. NVIDIA lost $400 billion it was since March the 8th, actually, the decline in the market cap of NVIDIA. Supermicrocomputer chips are also feeling the pain. That's the company Supermicrocomputer. I have never heard of that company in my life. to be completely honest with you, the stock price dropped 40% as well. This rapid decline suggests a potential cooling of investor sentiment towards the AI sector. Is it really a cooling, or was it just spiked so much that it's now returning to a level that's a bit more normal? Chip stocks obviously had surged in recent months on the back of excitement surrounding the potential of AI. They're experiencing now a dramatic reversal of fortune. NVIDIA obviously is a leader, and it officially entered bear market territory, dropping 20% from its all-time high just 1 month ago. I think it's just leveling up, leveling back to normal levels, really.
Yeah, I honestly do agree with you. Of course, like the market just keeps on like leveling up and just keeps on getting back to normal. You know, it's a roller coaster. It can go up, it can go down.
Yeah,
you just like never know what's gonna happen like next month.
Yeah, definitely. NEOM, there's a NEOM update. Always exciting to hear about this. Saudi Arabia is now seeking Chinese investment for this mega project that has become a lot smaller, but still mega nevertheless. Executives involved in the project, which has faced a lot of skepticism regarding its feasibility, they've concluded a tour to attract Chinese investors. They presented plans for a futuristic ski resort and 170-kilometer-long skyscrapers during the tour. The roadshow for NEOM, which is obviously the visionary project by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, has made made stops in Beijing, Shanghai, and Hong Kong over 2 days to find potential business partners. gathered at a stylish museum in Hong Kong to view striking visualizations of the project's different phases of development. I'm losing my voice here. Apologies. One second. I'm just going to take a quick sip of my coffee.
It's just like the 1 week that has been at home just like really mess with the business voice.
Yeah. So no major agreements were announced. Sorry, just dying over here. Anyways, what's interesting was the couple of comments this post got on Smashy Business Instagram. Don't build anything without allocating money for it. Mm-hmm. If it's okay to beg, then goods. Roadshow, it seems new terms for begging. Someone else said, or they should just stop the plan. I hate it when people do that, you know. Saudi Arabia is always investing in so many countries, not let alone projects. And people are just now hating because it's trying to get a little bit of help for NEOM. Good on them. Why should they be the ones always investing and giving money towards projects? You know, the Chinese, I think, would be great partners for this. So
it's good to see that. I honestly agree with you. And I'm just like I'm looking forward to just like see like how Saudi Arabia is going to be in a few years from now, ever since, you know, the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman decided to like just like open up Saudi Arabia, which is very, by the way, seems to be a very cool.
Incredible. هل تشعر بالوحدة؟ نحن معك. Are you feeling lonely? We are with you. Yes, we are. But this is a mental health app called Arab Therapy. It's Jordan based. And it's raised $1 million in funding. Why is this a big deal? Because mental health doesn't really exist in Arab culture, and especially in Jordan, where people really make fun of it a lot. So this is huge that it actually raised $1 million. That means people are paying more attention.
Beautiful, you know, like this is one of my favorite things. It's like, you know, like when the Arab community is, maybe we're not fully there yet.
Yeah,
but they are finally recognizing the fact that yes, mental health exists.
Yeah. And I mean, Tuhun, which is a mental wellness app by Fadi Ghandour's son, it's not doing that well, according to our sources.
Okay.
It's really struggling to, you know, there is a subscription. It's struggling to make money. You know, that's also a great project, but it's great to see, and it was kind of just a little bit disappointed. You know, love Faris, he's a great guy. You know, obviously his dad, Fadi Ghandour, is a legend. It's very hard to fill in those shoes. But it's a little bit kind of painful to see that, you know, Tahoon is not really where it should be.
Because I think, again, like, it has been very taboo for so long. Mm. And yes, a lot of people are accepting that mental health exists and that if you need help, go get help, of course. And that it's not a you know, like, so it's not something shameful, but a lot of, like, you know, like the Arab culture or, like, let's say the Middle Eastern culture, go like, oh my God, this is Arab, this is haram.
Yeah.
If you're feeling depressed, you are probably not depressed. You're probably just, like, lacking some, like, I don't know.
Just drink orange juice or something. Yeah. yeah, but I think with Tahoon, it's not just about the fact that it's a mental health app. It's because it's... because of the business model, and I think we'll look into that more. We'll get Faris into the studio. We'll talk about it. Anyways, let's go back to Arab therapy. It was founded in 2021, and it already raised $1 million. That's great. Tariq and Omar and Hikmat, Arab therapy is an online mental health platform that connects individuals with a range of licensed mental health professionals. The round was led by Flat Six Labs and Vision Health Pioneers, with participation from angel investors. It aims to use the investment to expand into new markets, hopefully the UAE, and provide services that cater to the mental health needs in the region. Lovely. Here are the names of the founders again: Tariq Delbah, Omar Qudsi, and Hikmat Al-Hasi. I hope I'm pronouncing all of those correctly. Up next is our guest, Anastasia. She's the co-founder and CEO of Aria. I'm not going to pronounce her last name. Ulyanova, I think so. Anyways, it's a crypto rating and agency and financial analytics platform. Stay with us. She's coming on next. Thank you. Anastasia Ulyanova, welcome to the studio. You're the founder and CEO of Aria, which stands for Algorithmic Ratings and Investment Analysis. I love that it turned out to be Aria, because a lot of people have these weird names for companies.
It took a while for us to think about the name. And so we did it with my co-founders. We did quite a few trial runs, and that was the one that seemed to stick.
Yeah, nice. And it's a crypto rating agency and financial analytics platform. Mm-hmm. You're actually based in Paris, but the reason we got you on the show, which is great, is you're in Dubai because you said it's a great networking opportunity. Mm-hmm. And you were here for Token 2049. Mm-hmm. How That's was right. that? It happened over the weekend. And oh my gosh, you were here for an event that was happening during, you know, the aftermath of the floods and the storms.
That was historic. Yes. I did not expect to see flooding in Dubai of all places.
Yeah.
But no, the
At least you got a few days of sunshine afterwards.
Yes.
At least.
Honestly. And I got messages from friends who were surprised, like the day after when it was already sunshine. They were like, how's the storm? Are you okay? I was like, yes, I'm perfectly safe.
It was tanning weather.
Exactly.
Literally.
Exactly. If only you could get to the beach, you know, with all the clothes.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was
so a... Token 2049. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
It was very... It's a great event. Mm. So many attendees, quality
sold
speakers.
Sold out.
Yeah.
It was.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, we wanted to sponsor it, but it was already sold out by then.
Oh,
so,
nice.
So it's a shame, but it was a really, really great event. A lot of great side events around it as well. So in terms of like meeting great connections, it was definitely a productive week.
Did you end up, because we were talking about Pavel Durov on the show today, did you watch him on stage?
No, I didn't. I focused more on like looking at the booths and networking and all of more of the side events.
Okay.
So there was so much happening and multiple stages happening.
I can't believe you missed that though.
I know, actually.
He never speaks on stage. I was gutted. I was trying to get in and I couldn't. So I was absolutely, gutted. So you said you wanted to sponsor that. You're based in Paris. Where is the investment coming from for the company? What is the background? Give us that little bit of assurance, because when it comes to crypto, people always kind of want to know more about that.
Okay, well, up until now, our company has been bootstrapped, mostly by our funds between me and my co-founders.
Okay.
And we're going to be starting a seed round very soon in May, but that's after we launch officially our platform.
Okay, brilliant. And it's launching, you said?
In the next few weeks.
In the next few weeks. Okay, brilliant. What has the networking kind of gotten you at Token 2049?
I would say the most interesting one was potential partners for the company. So we have like multiple products, and so there's a lot of versatility with what we can do with the product itself, with the platform. And obviously we want to, you know, crypto still has a bit of a reputation bias around it. So we want to create as much of a legitimate platform as possible.
Yeah.
So we're looking for players in the space, you know, to work with us on different aspects, and particularly right now we're looking at so one of the things that we do is the crypto ratings, where we rate cryptos from, you know, junk, super speculative, all the way to AAA. And from that, we've created a product, which are crypto indices. So it's essentially, instead of being able to buy, you know, just Bitcoin or Ethereum or one coin, we would want you to be able to buy crypto AAA or crypto speculative or whatever suits for you as an investor, given your risk profile.
Right.
But we're not a trading platform. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for partners who would essentially make it tradable with mm-hmm, us mm-hmm. to enter. So that okay. was the primary objective, I would say.
That's really interesting. And it's great to see a Paris-based company here. You know, a lot of the crypto guys are coming here. Binance mm-hmm. just got a full crypto license mm-hmm. In Dubai as well. Tell me a little bit about the product, mm-hmm. and then let's talk about that kind of Dubai connection. Abu Dhabi is doing a lot with crypto and AI as well. Would you ever consider opening an office here? Would you move from Paris to Dubai? We'll talk about the regulations, mm-hmm. You know, Paris versus Dubai. Tell me a little bit about the product first. Can you just explain the offerings real quick?
Sure. So really our focus is to help investors make better decisions when they invest in crypto, because our perspective right now, me and my co-founders, we all have experience in traditional finance, and we find it shocking that the way that people invest in crypto is primarily using market capitalization as a risk indicator. You know, they think if it's really big, yeah. it's safe. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't really apply this logic when you're investing in equities, for example, or mm-hmm. like another traditional asset.
Interesting.
You would look at a variety of different risk metrics and then do an analysis and decide whether a stock, an ETF, an index, whatever is good for you. People don't really do that in crypto.
Why do you think that is? That's very interesting. Because you come from traditional finance, so tell me about it.
I think up until now, it's just because of the view of crypto as a new asset class. People are just still getting familiar with it. It's a very complex concept as well. Mm. So you have these, generally speaking, I see two types of people in crypto. I see the techies, really smart tech people who develop these projects that are so interesting and innovative. But because they're tech, they don't necessarily explain it in a way that a non-tech person can understand mm-hmm. yeah. or can appreciate how good of a project it is.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So that's one group.
Tell
exactly.
me about it.
And the other one that I see a lot are more finance-oriented people. I'm not really going to count the speculators amongst those because that's more, I count that more towards gambling. Mm-hmm. But for them, they look at the crypto as, you know, a market, and they're going to, you know, apply their logic, their statistics, et cetera, which a layperson may not understand if you, again, don't have a financial background.
Yeah.
So would you know, for example, in investing, how to use a Sortino ratio, how to mm-hmm. use a volatility indicator, how mm-hmm. to use, you know, all of these financial performance statistics?
Definitely.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
So we want to...
I've heard that, by the way, from so many people who were in banking and are now looking into crypto, working with people who work in crypto. And, you know, even the guy with, you know, X amount of experience in mm-hmm. banking doesn't know some of these terms. So yeah, it's
exactly.
very, really intricate.
So it's a lot of, you know, specialties that are very siloed. That's how mm-hmm. I see the market right now. And what we're trying to do with Aria is create a bridge and create a platform that kind of eliminates all of the jargon and that could be useful to any profile of investor, regardless of your level of experience, your preferred risk profile, and it could be useful to you. And that's why we have this whole suite of products mm-hmm. so that you can understand crypto, you can save time on analysis, mm-hmm. you can understand the risk, and then you can make appropriate decisions
that's
for yourself.
That's great. You would be surprised how many so-called investors pretend to know what they're investing in just because they're scared of asking the questions.
Exactly.
Because it's a completely different space, really. Mm-hmm. It's a new space. Sorry,
exactly.
Go on,
please. No, and one thing in particular, actually, a demographic that I hear a lot about this from is women. So many women tell me, you know, I should get into crypto. I really want to buy some crypto. I can probably make money in it. But I'm afraid, where do I start? How do I know? You know,
yeah.
because they still see it as a very kind of degen space with those, mm-hmm. you know, bros, Lamborghinis.
Right,
they
the have... crypto bros, yeah.
Exactly.
That don't like to be called crypto bros.
Actually, yeah, it's true. But unfortunately, it's the reputation that the space has.
Yeah,
and so
true.
That's something that we really want to break. Mm-hmm. And we want to, so more people come into the space.
Yeah. Hey, at least the women are not afraid to actually ask those questions. So what about Dubai? Would you ever consider coming here? A lot of people do come here because the regulations are, you know, not as tight as in the US. A lot of the crypto guys are having major issues. It's not just the crypto companies. It's also the AI companies. Also, regulations in the US are, you know, being tightened
more
right
strict,
now.
Yeah.
A lot of people are coming to Dubai. What is it like in France? What is it like in Paris?
You know, not a lot of people realize this, but France actually has a very startup-friendly environment. It has, in terms of crypto regulation, I think compared to most other European countries and the United States, it has some sort of clarity around it, and more regulation is going to be coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a very big positive. And as well, in terms of startups, it's very pro-development and pro-startup. You know, there's a lot of grants you can apply for, a lot of help from the state as well. So I think as an environment, it's very underrated.
Okay, interesting. What about when it comes to regulations and you know, for a company like Aria, for example? Because a few years ago in you know, in Dubai, it was very, and it still is actually hard to get licensing.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so important to get licenses. For us as a business, though, we're not a trading platform and we don't do any financial advice.
Mm.
So we don't strictly require any licenses to
okay.
operate.
Mm-hmm.
However, for legitimacy purposes, because we do want to bring more trust into crypto, we plan to get them over time. And yes, absolutely, Dubai is such an important hub. For crypto, I think it's one of the most important ones globally right now, and it's continuing to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely a lot of interest in expanding here, and definitely opening an office.
You know what? I was watching BitCons on Netflix. I had started watching it. I couldn't finish, but it was really interesting because this idea of, I don't know if you've watched it.
No, I haven't.
It's basically it was a big con. In cryptocurrency, there were a couple of guys who launched basically a fake company with a debit card that allows you to basically use the card as if cryptocurrency were cash, you know, take it out in cash using this debit card. It was this whole scam. But I was just thinking, will we see that come into play anytime soon, an actual debit card for cryptocurrency?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure there are plenty of very smart people working on this. I mean, there are so many, you know, there's so many models from traditional finance that can be just slightly tweaked and then applied to Web3. We're doing that for analytics. But yeah, there's definitely, not that I'm thinking of any particular examples right now, but yeah, I definitely see that in the future happening.
I mean, it'll be interesting, I guess. Any kind of predictions from your end, analytics and data generally is so important. Any predictions for the future of kind of crypto? I mean, you know, everyone's talking about Bitcoin halving. Anything specific?
I would say, like, my predictions are really more broad. I think doing any kind of like price prediction is very difficult, and for crypto as well, that moves so fast, is very crystal ball like. So it's not something that I particularly like to engage in. But in terms of the space, I think definitely crypto is here to stay. I understand that there's still a lot of skeptics out there, but I think most of that stems from a lack of understanding of the possibilities. And as we break down the concepts of crypto and the many use cases that blockchain technology has and decentralization has, and how these applications can be merged with more traditional ones, it's going to become more mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't think it's about Web3 replacing Web2. I think it's about both merging,
okay,
essentially.
Right.
That's how I see it, in a more hybrid format.
Okay, nice way of putting it. Last question. A lot of people would hear about this company, you know, find it interesting, but never actually, you know, go anywhere near that space. Can someone who is not as familiar with crypto, you know, use the platform? Tell us a little bit about that so that people don't, you know, just get afraid when they hear anything about crypto. How are you planning on, you know, bridging that gap between... Yeah.
That's a great question. So one of the things that we've developed, one of the products we have on our platform, is a Cryptopedia, where we're looking at So first of all, we only look at coins that are above 500 million in market cap. Anything below that is more space for speculation. Mm-hmm. And not that it's a bad space and people can go and, you know, invest if they want to.
Yeah.
But we want crypto to be a legitimate asset. So we're looking at really more of the bigger coins, which today is, I think, a little over 150 coins. Mm-hmm. It moves every day, so don't quote me necessarily perfectly on that number.
No worries. Sorry.
And so... Well, the way that we did our platform, first of all, user friendliness is one of our fundamental values. So navigating the platform itself should be very intuitive to any user of any level. Mm-hmm. That's number one. And then this Cryptopedia, it explains all of these different projects in a very like tech jargon free manner, with giving you kind of like parallels and analogies
right.
to understand how this particular project is interesting, how it's useful, etc. Mm-hmm. So I think So I think it could be a really good starting point for people. I personally use it already to discover new projects.
I would love to use it. Looking forward to the launch in just a couple of weeks, and looking forward to seeing more of this in Dubai.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too. I hope I come here more often. Yeah. It's a great place.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time, Anastasia. We're running short, unfortunately. But Aria, check it out. Your website is?
aria-crypto.com.
Okay.
Cool. No, not dash. I mean the little minus sign. I don't really know what it's called.
The minus sign. Yeah, I think it's
a... Is it dash?
I think it's a dash, yeah. Okay. Anyway, guys, you know how to use Google. You can find it. Aria, A-R-I-A, Algorithmic Ratings and Investment Analysis. It's a crypto rating agency and financial analytics platform. Don't let that scare you. It's worth looking into. A fascinating conversation. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. Guys, watch us on smashy.tv or listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you and speak to you tomorrow.